Okay, now we're finished with that that parable, and the purpose of these parables now is to tell us how to get ready. So hopefully we've learned a little bit about, you know, the importance of being faithful and being wise and giving meat in due season. Then we have another parable. It goes from chapter 25, verse 1, through chapter 25, verse 13. That's the parable of the 10 virgins. So let's just read that, and then we'll go back and talk about it. It says then. So additional information is going to be given about this same subject. Then the kingdom of heaven, and that's what we've been talking about, the kingdom of heaven, will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five of them were prudent or wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, like extra oil. But the prudent or wise took oil in flasks along with their lamp. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, saying, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." Verse 13 then, "Be on the alert. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour." That's something that's been repeated here again. No, we're to say you don't know the day or the hour, you need to be ready. And this is to help us get ready. And so what it's going to do is it's just going to add more information to the first parable about what we need. And this word then in the Greek is actually a word that sort of means then at now at the same time. It's talking about the same subject, and it's a transition word. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And I guess one thing we ought to just say something about the kingdom of heaven. That phrase, kingdom of heaven, literally translated is the kingdom of the heavens. It means that a kingdom is like the rule. Kingdom of the heaven is the rule of the heavens over the earth. And that's going to be Christ's kingdom. The rule of the heavens over the earth will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, I think we need to say something about the 10 virgins. 10 is a number of ordinal perfection. You count up to 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then you do it again. And then you do it again, and you do it again, and do it again. So, ordinal perfection would mean all of something, of whatever is being talked about. So 10 virgins would be 10 bride candidates. 10 virgins would be all of the bride candidates, and all of the bride candidates would be all of the saved. So all of these are saved, they're all bride candidates, and they all have lamps. and they go out to meet the bridegroom. Carol, do you have anything to add to that so far?
Well, I think that just helps us to see when we look carefully at that first verse. That 10 means all, meaning the whole church. And they had lamps. And lamps, once again, is a metaphor of light. It's a metaphor of the light of Christ in our lives or the life of God. Christians all have a lamp because they have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. So they have the light of God in their lives. There's a manifestation of God through their lives, and that's their lamp. And so you have 10, and then they all went out to meet the bridegroom. That's just saying that they're all going to go out when he comes for them in the rapture. And this is that time. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's about this time when we go out to meet him in the rapture that the kingdom is ready to be set up. That kingdom, which is the rule of the heavens over the earth, will be set up just following the rapture, the judgment seat, the tribulation, and Christ's revelation or return. And so that's as much as we can say right there until we divide it five and five.
To that, to go out to meet the bridegroom, I mean, that's what anyone who is saved is a bride candidate. Mm-hmm. So anyone who is saved is going out to meet the bridegroom. Now, this doesn't mean like, well, he's coming now at the rapture and let's go out because here he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a preparation
time. Preparing to meet our bridegroom.
And we know
that a bridegroom is Jesus.
Right, the bridegroom,
of
course, is Jesus.
We would not be speaking of God the Father being a bridegroom.
Now, it says they have lamps, and so you say, well, maybe five of them's lamps were burning and the other five didn't have any oil in their lamps. But if you look down in verse 7 and 8, it says, and then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Well, you wouldn't have to trim them if they weren't burning and hadn't burned the wick. And the foolish said to the prudent, give us some oil, for our lamps are going out. So they had enough oil to, you know, they had the initial portion of oil, and they didn't have any extra oil.
And of course, oil, from first mention in Scripture, represents the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And in the Old Testament, you know, we know about the oil that was used to anoint prophets, priests, and kings, and it was like the oil was put on them. It's like the Holy Spirit comes on someone in the Old Testament, so they're empowered to do their duties, their office of king or priest or prophet. But in the New Testament, it's different, because when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. That's like every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The other thing, whereas there's a little distinction, is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer is not filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's a second thing that happens as we yield our lives to the Lord. Then our lives are filled with the Holy Spirit. As we dwell in the Word of God, our lives are filled with the Holy Spirit.
As we abide in Christ.
Abide in Christ. So that this really fits the parable, the New Testament, not the Old Testament pattern of the Holy Spirit coming on one, but being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and then, like it says in Ephesians 5:18, now he's instructing, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let your life be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be full of the Holy Spirit. There are those kind of admonitions for believers. So you can or you cannot. It's something that
Then you really are like a lamp. If your light is coming from within.
Right. Okay, verse 2, then five of them were foolish and five were wise. Some make a point of this, that five is the number for grace. Five were foolish, but they were saved, number for grace. Five were wise, they were both saved.
By grace.
For when the foolish took their lamps, they had no oil with them. So it's saying they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. They just were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, an interesting, something else that's sort of interesting are the words that... the Greek words for wise and foolish. The Greek word for wise is phronimos, and it means someone who is prudent and thinking and really wise. The Greek word for foolish is the word moros. And it's actually the word that we get our word moron from. And it is someone who just really doesn't use his mind very much. Really stupid,
unthinking,
unthoughtful. So even the Greek words really make not a little separation here, but a huge separation. And this being wise is especially wise in things that have to do with the coming kingdom and the coming of the Lord and the preparation for the coming of the Lord. So verse 4, the prudent, the wise, they took it all in their flasks. They were filled with the Holy Spirit along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. You know, there was a long time it's been 2,000 years he hasn't come. And so this drowsy and began to sleep it's not like overt unfaithfulness. It's just unwatchfulness. And it's saying they all got that way. And, you know, that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is the next verse, but at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Now, this is the midnight cry. And this is just, it's not like, here he comes. That's on down later. This is still, prepare yourself, the bridegroom is coming. And at that point, the virgin arose. They all arose and they trimmed their lamps. Now, some of them ended up being prepared, and some of them ended up not being prepared. So, this midnight cry, this shout, is still, you know, it's still this, the word, the bridegroom is coming, we need to prepare ourselves. You know, what we're teaching right here would be like the midnight cry. It would be like the shout. It's saying to people, prepare yourself, the Lord is coming. And the foolish will not prepare themselves, that, you know, and the wise will prepare themselves. And the wise will just be diligent to study into these things and read these things and learn how they can be ready and how they can be prepared and make decisions that are necessary. Anything you want to add to that, Carol?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." And the prudent answered, "No, there will not enough be not enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." Well, you think, well, that's your stingy. Looks like they should give them some oil. Well, if you think, well, what is the oil? I mean, it's the being full of the Holy Spirit. Well, how can you help someone who's not full of the Holy Spirit really get full of the Holy Spirit? No, you have to do what's necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the things would be just really yield yourself to the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time in the Word with the Lord. Spend time in prayer with the Lord. And, you know, there's a certain cost to that. The cost is like Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. He who saves his life will lose it. Who loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, that's the cost. You know, it has to do with losing your own thing and not doing your own thing, but losing your life for Christ's sake. It's the cost, and that cost, that's the cost of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they're saying, well, this is what's necessary. Go and do this. And then they said, well, verse 10, and while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And that's, you know, this is like suffering loss at the judgment seat of Christ. This is what it's going to be like. And then later the virgins also came saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I don't know you." In other words, in this context of those who will be entering in here, I don't recognize you as those who qualify to be in this group.
We know that God knows everybody. He's omniscient. He created each one of us, so there's not anyone that he doesn't know. And Jesus is God. So it wouldn't be in the sense of "I don't know who you are," but it would be in the sense of like Adam knew his wife Eve and she bore a child. So he knew her intimately and she produced fruit. And if we know the Lord intimately, if we allow his life to live through our life, then we know him in a fruit-producing manner. And that's what fruit will be necessary. That's what will be necessary in order to gain a prize at the judgment seat and to reign with Christ in the coming kingdom. And if we have no fruit, he'll just say, "Well, I don't know you. I never knew you intimately in such a way as to produce my life through yours. And so I don't know you. I don't recognize you as being part of this select group."
We could say that these five wise virgins would be the same as the faithful servant. In order to be a faithful servant, you're going to have to be full of the Holy Spirit. You're full of the Holy Spirit, and in order to be wise in the things of God, you're going to have to be full of the Holy Spirit. And another thing, as far as being full of the Holy Spirit, that I think it's good to realize is that you're about as full of the Holy Spirit as you are full of the Word. If you turn to Ephesians 5:18, we'll read about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in Colossians, there's a parallel verse, Colossians 3, And it sort of has, says the same words, only it substitutes being full of the word. In Ephesians 5:18, scripture says, and do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then it talks about family relationships. Now, if you turn over to, go to the right a few pages to Colossians 3.
16.
Is it 16? No. Well, it's coming, chapter 2.
Chapter 3, verse 16.
Okay, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. See, that's like be filled with the Holy Spirit. With all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your heart to God, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him. And then it talks about the family relationships, or what's going to be the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But here, he doesn't say be filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, and let the let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And then it goes on with the same words. The other one said, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and with all wisdom, teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And this one says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and teaching one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, giving thanks to you. With thankfulness in your heart to God. So the point is, being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Word are just sort of, you can't have one without the other.
And that's a beautiful picture of a bride candidate whose lamp is bright and burning and who has extra oil with her in her flask.
And Scripture says that word is a lamp unto the pathway and a light unto your feet. Mm-hmm. So a lamp to your pathway would be something that looks way out in front, like prophecy, and a light to your feet is just your daily walk. Mm-hmm. So the Word of God. And so word of God and the Holy Spirit of God just together.
A passage in Revelation, Mark, which I think goes well with this one. And it's in the part where Jesus is speaking to the churches. It's in chapter 3, where he's speaking to the church at Laodicea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just said that the virgins, the five foolish ones, said to the wise ones, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. And they said, no, you'll have to go to the vendors and buy your own. And Jesus, speaking to the church at Laodicea, said to them, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. He says, buy from me. Jesus is the one from whom we have to get the second portion of oil. He is the one who has it to dispense to us, and we need to buy it from him, and we have to pay the price. individually, each one of us. And one of the prices that we pay in receiving it from Jesus is to spend time in His Word. If we spend time in His Word, then we are enriched and we are built up in the Holy Spirit. The more we not only spend time in it reading it, but the more we speak it, the more we pray it, the more we use it in our daily lives, the more led of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit we are. And that's just the price we have to pay to be full Spirit.
And the other thing that happens is what it says in Romans 12:2. It says,
be transformed.
Yeah. Give your bodies a living sacrifice and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as we're being filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is richly dwelling in us, we're being transformed.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other thing here. It's sort of worth mentioning. It's let's see. They trimmed their life. Then the
verse
word
seven.
this word at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." So that is this word about the bridegroom cometh. It goes out, and it says all of the virgins, which is all of the saved, heard it. So they arose and trimmed their lamps. But, you know, in our day, it seems like that people may be hearing it, but they're sort of ignoring it. And it
was... What do we do when we trim a lamp, Mark? When we trim the wick, it's where it's been burned, and so it's not giving off a very good light. If we trim it, then it makes it the light brighter.
Yeah,
if we get the burnt part off of it.
Right, but what I'm thinking is, it seems like that all of us, all of the saved here, heard the message, but in just thinking about all of the saved in the United States, the saved that we're sort of aware of, it seems like the message is not getting out there about the return of Christ and the second coming and the millennial reign of Christ and all that. And I remember in the parable of the sower and the seed, which is a parable about the word of the kingdom, that, you know, there was some of the seed fell on the rocky ground, and some of the fell in the thorns. There was only a small portion of the seed that really bore fruit. So that it seems like this word of the kingdom that we're talking about now, if it's going out, it's not bearing fruit in too many of the entire saved group or the entire church.